presence, so also to work through our lives and the circumstances we find ourselves in, to bring glory to Him and His gospel to others. Turn with me, if you will, now to your the Pew Bible. I want you to turn to 11:17. Now, if you have your own Bible, you're on your own. Okay, but you probably know your own Bible well enough to know where Luke chapter 19 is. Luke 19, verses 28 to 44. That was the passage we just read. And throughout the triumphal entry, you know that the Bible, God's Word, is a book of amazing and instructive contrasts. We see all sorts of examples of contrasts in the Word of God. Like, if you will, the way of righteousness as opposed to the way of unrighteousness. The way of life eternal and the way of destruction and death. We have the way of peace and the way of turmoil, chaos, and unrest. We can continue. There are many contrasts in the Word of God. And one of the reasons why God puts contrast there is for you and I to realize, that we have to make a choice. We have to make a choice. When God presents those contrasts, two ways, two paths, two lives, we have to make a choice. And we also see this, if you will, in the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ. Because that event is following the triumphal entry of Christ into Jerusalem is filled with contrasts. And we want to try to see those contrasts from God's Word. And to know that by observing these contrasts, you and I have to make a choice. We really do. And that's important. It's only important to God and His Son, Jesus Christ, and the work of His Holy Spirit in the Word and in our hearts. But I have to believe it's important for each and every one of us too. So, coming into God's Word and coming, if you will, to the celebration and weeping. What a contrast. Celebration, joy, shouting, tears. Hosanna! Hosanna the higher! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The blessed King is here. But at the same time, contrasted that, if you will, celebration with weeping. Why? Well, part of God's way, not just to get our attention, but to get our hearts and our lives. Okay, so are you with me? Alright, Luke chapter 19. Celebration of weeping in Jerusalem. Here we have, if you will, Luke 19, 38. Your outline before you. We will be going through the outline because we have some ground to cover, but we're going to cover together. Amen? Okay, so Luke 19, verse 38. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Imagine, if you were there, probably 2,000 years ago, when Jesus Christ, this one who's known by many throughout Judea, up in Galilee, and whatnot, this rabbi, this one who heals, who delivers people from the dominion, if you will, the power of Satan. This one who is the Messiah? This one who is of the root of David? This one who is the King? And Jesus coming in on that bright sunny morning, called Palm Sunday, that bright sunny morning, pressing over the hill, Mount of Olives, from Bethphage, Bethany, now en route to Jerusalem, the holy city. The morning sun brightly shining, being reflected off the city, the holy city, Jerusalem, and Jesus coming down that Mount of Olives road to the eastern side of the city, the eastern gate that opens into the Temple Mount. That city glistening from the morning sunlight. All the houses and all the shops that you could see beyond the wall from the Mount of Olives. But you see the Holy Temple glistening and reflecting the sun. His white marble shining so brightly, so white, and all of its gold and silver of whiteness. And here's Jesus riding the colt, a donkey. And then the crowds come. Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest. It starts small, but the crowd grows. And the celebration increases more and more.
Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest!
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and cut him off palm branches and laying them down, because the king is coming! The king is coming! And even taking off their cloaks and putting them down as a symbol of their submission to the reign of this king. Celebration. Celebration. Here, as we see, it's only a shallow celebration, very shallow indeed, even though it's fueled by the very word of God. Because in those joyous cheers and shouts, the word of God was quoted many times. In fact, this event was prophesied by the Old Testament prophets and also in the book of Psalms. And they were using that as an acknowledgement of fulfillment, but still a shallow celebration. And the crowds that went before him and they followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Shouts and cheers in response to the people quoting scripture and receiving their king. The next day, a large crowd had come to the feast and heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. There in your outline before you, John chapter 12. So they took branches of palm trees, went out to meet him, crying out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. What a scene. Those are cheers and responses and rejoicing and quoting God's word. But there's always a few, aren't there? Always a few. Don't keep it down. Well, the Pharisees were there, the religious leaders. And they were saying there, if you saw being read in Scripture, Luke chapter 19, and the Pharisees said, Teacher, teacher, quiet them down. Have good luck with that. The Lord said, if they were to be silent, even the rocks themselves would cry out. But with a full celebration, because the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, has come. The rejoicing, if you will, the response of the people. The notice in your outline before us, just 5 days later, 5 days later, think of that. 5 days. Same crowd.
Crucify him!
Pilate says, I find no fault in him. What shall I do with this Jesus? On this day, I typically go ahead and release one of the criminals.
Away with him! We want the Barabbas! We want the murderer! Crucify this one called Jesus!
Same crowd. The celebration, but a shout of celebration. And there was weeping there too on that day of his entry. You have it there in your outline before you. Sincere weeping. Jesus saw the city and he wept over it. Verses 41 through 44. When he drew near this and saw the city, he wept over it. A number of times in the gospel record, we have Jesus both weeping for people and weeping with people. It shows his compassion, his love, his, if you will, his genuine, real emotions. That's fully man and fully God. It also shows his love for the lost. And here he is weeping for a whole city. He knew their hearts. He knew their cheers would soon turn into jeering shouts, crucify him. Well, let's go on, if you will. In Luke chapter 19, verse 21, do you have before you say, Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies, that's Rome, will set up a barricade around you and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you, and they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you do not know the time of your visitation. That happened about 40, In AD 70, Titus, the Roman commander of the 10th Legion, the Roman Legion, came into Jerusalem because they wanted to put down the, what they thought was another rebellion. And Josephus, a writer at that time, a historian who wrote about that in AD 70, when the Roman legions went in there, and they decimated everything. They killed millions of people throughout Judea, but also right there in Jerusalem, the city that Christ is now weeping for. And it was tore down. The walls, the houses, the shops, but especially the temple. And the Lord said to his disciples, before this day of triumphal entry into Jerusalem, before the day of his crucifixion and the victory of his resurrection, he told his disciples, not one brick will remain upon another here in this temple. And that was fulfilled. Josephus says that when the Roman legion went through the city of Jerusalem, killing, slaughtering, they went into the temple that had a lot of gold and silver, and they set the temple ablaze. And as the temple was burning, because there was rich woods inside, it was burning. What happened was that the heat was so intense that the gold within the Holy of Holies, the holy place, and the outer courts, and all the golden vessels, they began to melt. And the gold that was melting was going down into the cracks and crevices of the blocks, the building blocks of the temple. So in order to retrieve all that gold, they dug up all those blocks, exactly fulfilling what Jesus told his disciples. But Jesus wasn't just weeping for a broken down temple. He wasn't weeping for a broken down wall. He was weeping for broken lives. Lives of men and women, boys and girls, like us today, like you and I. We need to know the Savior, to know His healing, to know His grace, and the restoration of a life that is in relationship with God, not separated from God. Yes, He was weeping. He's weeping for a city filled with people who are lost and have rejected the Savior. God's judgment and destruction upon the city as the people came. Sorrow and separation was also part of the result of that. They were scattered, they were dispersed within the Roman Empire. Many of them became slaves, those that survived that terrible action that the 10th Legion took upon the Jews in Jerusalem and throughout Judea and up into Galilee. They became known as the diaspora. Dispersed here and there. Many in fact in the bondage of slavery. I want to take you to another celebration and another weeping. Turn with me, if you have that in your outline, Revelation chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, and your page number for it is a few Bibles, 1314. It's another celebration. Different place, different people, but there's also weeping. Well, what a contrast. What a contrast. Again, celebration, joy, rejoicing, and weeping. Take a look at Romans chapter 5. It's a sacred celebration. It's up there in heaven. It's not just sacred because of the place, but because who are there. Take a look at people. Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. That's heaven's worship. Heaven's praise, heaven giving, if you will, exaltation to the Son of God, to the Father on the throne, to the work of the Holy Spirit. And again, Romans chapter 5, we have in your outline before you, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who is slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Yes, it's a sacred celebration because of the place. Yes, it's in heaven. It's down in the very holy of holies, the very throne room of God. What a celebration! But notice also, it was sacred because of the people who are there. First of all, the heavenly hosts. The heavenly hosts, all those created beings, all those angelic beings that were created by by God. To worship Him and to serve Him. And as His bidding, serve those who He cares for.
And not only that, multitudes upon multitudes of heavenly hosts for those redeemed by the Lamb. Also, rejoicing, worthy are you, O Lamb, Lamb of God, all power and honor and glory. Celebration, yes. Celebration that is sincere. Celebration that is pure. Celebration that is perfect. Because of who is there? The Lord God Himself. But also the redeemed of the Lord. And you know something? That's going on right now. You know something? If you have a loved one who knew the Lord Jesus Christ on this side of glory, they're in glory right now. Rejoicing. Worthy the Lamb of God, we're shouting with great joy. And fulfilled, if you will, with thanksgiving and gratitude for the grace of their salvation. Through the love of God, not to themselves. Yes, celebration that is sincere. The place, heaven, the throne room of God, the people, the heavenly host, and the redeemed of the Lamb, for the purpose to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. What we're doing right now today, this morning, you who are visitors with us, thank you for coming. Thank you for being part of our rejoicing. Thank you for being part of our worship and our fellowship as we together with you. Thank you for being here that we can together say, worthy is the Lamb. Praise God for all He has done in His Son, Jesus Christ. Yes, in the life that He lived. The ministries that He gave.
The life that He gave for you there at Calvary's cross. His resurrection will be celebrated next week. Worthy of the Lamb. Amen? Yeah. I hope you'll be here next week. Resurrection Sunday.
Let's go on. Purpose to exalt the Lamb. He is the Lamb of the Life. Take a look, if you will, and have all that, that sincere, pure celebration in the Holy of Holies, surrounded, if you will, the realm of heaven. We also have weeping. Take a look, if you will, in your outline before you, from Revelation chapter 5, verses 2 through 5. And this is John writing, as he's there, spiritually in the presence of those who are celebrating. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll and to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. What is that scroll? Well, it has seven seals. That scroll, as it was indeed opened by the very Lion of Judah, the very Lamb of God, every one of those seals that were broken and that scroll was opened, gave, if you will, a full understanding of God's fulfilled purpose for the creation that He created, for the redemption that He gave through His Son, Jesus Christ, and the consummation of all the ages. Think of that. Think of that. Who is worthy to open that? Who is worthy to break one of those seals, let alone seven of those seals? Why was John weeping when they said, no one is worthy on earth or below the earth? Because John knew that within that heaven-made scroll and those seals sealing that scroll, it needed to be opened that God's judgment and wrath and grace and mercy could find their fulfillment in the world He created. You see, John was alive when the Roman 10th Legion went into Jerusalem and decimated the city and created this diaspora of his own people, the Jews. John wanted God to judge Rome for doing that. John wanted all the wrongs to be righted, just like you and I. But it's no longer justice, but it's how you know, whom you know. It's no longer justice, but how you can pay your way through. That was evident in those days too. And John wanted all of that unrighteousness to be done away with. Because John knew
that one day God will create a new heaven and a new earth, and Christ will reign in majesty. The Lion of Judah, who is also the Lamb of God. Take a look, if you will, at this passage.
Let me continue. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." The Lion of Judah is the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God is Jesus Christ, the very Son of God. The Lion of Judah is a title that is given to Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of God's word and God's work throughout the ages among his people. There in Genesis chapter 39, Jacob is giving his blessings upon his children, Judah being one of the sons. And he says there, in the lineage of Judah, there's going to be one who will rise up and will be the king. He will have the scepter of royalty and power and authority, and that will never end. Jacob could see, by the grace of God, the promise of the Lion of Judah. And that's where we get that title initially stated in the Word of God, in that pronouncement of Jacob upon his son Judah and the genealogy. And isn't it interesting, and isn't it wonderful, that Jesus Christ, your Jesus, my Jesus, your Lamb of God, my Lamb of God, your Lion of Judah, my Lion of Judah, that Jesus is born of the lineage of Judah and David. Lamb of God, Savior of all who are redeemed. But I want to take you to another place where there's another triumphal entry that was foreshadowed in that first entry of Christ 2,000 years ago there in Jerusalem. Turn with me, if you will, to Revelation chapter 19. And we're using the New Bible on page 1325. This is the coming triumphal entry of the king. This is when the Lion of Judah enters in. Not on the bull of a donkey, but on a horse, a war horse. He's the one who comes in power and authority, not to bring peace, but to bring judgment upon the nations. And he, the very Lion of Judah, who is called also in that passage, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, will set up his rule, his reign, his kingdom for 1,000 years. Have you seen no weeping? Well, right. Yes, we do. But before we look at that meeting, just think of what Jesus will be doing when he enters into Jerusalem on that white stone with a sword, not an olive branch, not a palm branch, but with the sword of his word. Take a look at the passage we have before you. Then I saw heaven open to me. This Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 13 and 16. Then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and the one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. Not peace, but war. That's the Lion of Judah. Yet he is still the Lamb of God. He's still the right Redeemer. But Jesus is coming back. And Jesus will right the wrongs. All the injustices of this world will be set right. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And on his robe and on his side he has a name written, King of Kings. Finish that with me.
Lord of
Lords. Where is the weeping? Judgment is there. I'm sure that those who are judged, those who are condemned dead, be weeping. But the next time you see weeping is in Revelation chapter 20. Would you turn with me? Now it doesn't say weeping there, but we know it's there because of the passages. Where is the weeping? In the lake of fire. In the lake of fire that burns for eternity. Take a look at Revelation chapter 20, 13 through 15. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. That is the second death. And the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. You say, Bill, where's weeping in that passage? Actually, half a dozen places in the New Testament, it describes this lake of fire as a place of condemnation, that place of destruction and torment. And it's referred to as a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. See, God has already said that's what the final weeping is. We began this message this morning that God's Word is filled with contrasts, and the events and the following events of Christ's entry into Jerusalem on that Sunday that we call Palm Sunday, we call each of us in all the Word of God to make a choice. To make a choice. About your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Because the choice you can make with regard to Jesus, the Lamb of God, the Light of Judah, the choice that you and I make will determine our life right now and the destiny and future of our life to come. Because there is a place where there will be no more weeping, no more sickness, no more death. And that same Lord and Savior who entered into Jerusalem that day with a shout of celebration for the same people that said, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, is the same group that said, crucify him. Crucify him. Take him away. We want Barabbas. Jesus wept for them. Because they missed the day of his visitation. What does that mean? They had the opportunity. They had the opportunity. But they rejected the Savior. You see, those contrasts in God's Word are for a reason. Let me ask you, do you have loved ones and friends that you are weeping for because they're not saved? I do. They need to know. They need to know personally the Lamb of God, the Lion of Judah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Where is there no weeping? You have it in your outline before you. Revelation chapter 21. In heaven with the Lamb. And he will wipe away every tear from your eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be any mourning or crying or pain or any more. For the former things have passed away. And he who is seated on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. Also he said, Write these things down, for these things are worthy of faith. As a church, we don't have palm branches to give out. But as a church family, for all who come, we have a Savior to proclaim, the Lamb of God,
the life that you have. One day there will be a weeping. There will be a weeping and gnashing of teeth. But there's another place. There's another place that you can be assured of today if you put your faith and trust and your life in the hands of Jesus. Those nail-scarred hands that bore your sins, our sins, my sins, on the cross. Those nail-scarred hands of a glorified body now, fully raised from the dead, for glory and majesty, the light of Jesus. But still the Lamb of God, for all who need protection. Contrast. Is your life a contrast from Christ? Is your life a contrast from God's Word? It doesn't have to be. It can be in sync with His grace. Pray for me. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for that entry of Christ, our Savior, the very Lamb of God, riding into Jerusalem. And yet, in spite of all the shouts and cheers, and even the quotations of the word, you knew that you were going to the cross. The cross for them. And you knew that you would rise again from death, from the tomb, to be that everlasting Savior to all who put their faith and trust in you. So Father, I pray for all the word here. Lord, I pray that every man, every woman, that they have that personal relationship, that personal saving relationship with you, by your grace, through faith in you, Lord Jesus alone, knowing that you died for their sins, that you rose triumphantly, victoriously. You conquered death. You conquered sin. You conquered Satan. That we can be set free and forgiven. And so, Lord, I pray that they will come to know you fully as Lord and Savior. I ask this, Father, in Jesus' name.